ప్రేమస్వరూపులారు,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sairam from Prashanti Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. And it is and it will always be the most happening place on the planet. Because it is the connect to this place that recharges every soul who has known Swami, who has not yet known Swami, and who has been touched by his message. The month of June always brings back beautiful memories of Bhagwan in Prashanti Nilayam, Bhagwan returning from Vrindavan. The mandir filled with fresh faces of students, and how eagerly Swami would be talking to the newcomers, and how people who were longing for his darshan, who had missed his darshan during the summer months, people now thronging to be at his lotus feet. Yes, Prashanti Nilayam may not have that kind of crowd now, but Prashanti Nilayam still fills you with that freshness, fills you with that energy the moment you think about it, the moment you connect to it. And let's hope and pray that we will come back to our home, our Prashanti, very soon, now that the pandemic is taking a very southward movement and you see cases dropping. Let us hope and pray we can come back and sit in the lap of our mother, this Prashanti, which is indeed like a mother, which nourishes us, which takes care of us, which welcomes us, which embraces us. And when you think about it, even though for 1.5 years we have not had the chance to be in the lap of this mother, just like a mother can never ever take her thought away from the child, wherever the mother may be, the mother would always be thinking of the child, will be concerned about the child, will be doing things visibly, invisibly for the child. And I feel that is how Prashanti has been, that is how Bhagwan has been in the last 1.5 years. All of us have experienced that. Wherever we are, we have drawn strength, we have drawn solace, we have drawn support by thinking of him, by lending, holding his hand. And when we think about it deeply, what we have gained as an individual, what we have gained as a society, what we have learned as a community, what we have learned as humanity as a whole is something very, very profound. And the more you think deeply about it, the more you see a larger purpose, and the more you are in awe of him and the more your heart goes out in gratitude to Him. And if we are tuned in the right way, what the Master has to teach us, the lessons that we have to learn to imbibe and make it a part of our lives as we realign ourselves to the new normal, as they say. In fact, the most beautiful thing is what we think today is the new normal. This is what Bhagwan has been urging, advising, cajoling, coaxing us, inspiring us to do for decades. If you ponder over it, all of us who know Swami, who have had the opportunity of being touched by His love and be exposed to His teachings, if we reflect, we will see that COVID did not come to us in a state where we were unprepared. No, Bhagwan has been preparing us. He has been preparing us silently and solidly for many, many years now. People ask, would COVID have happened if Swami was physically there? What would have been Bhagwan's reaction in case if He was there with us now in His physical form? How would the world been? What would have been Swami's directions for devotees? Someone said, maybe because this was coming, Swami left His mortal coil. Well, all I can think is, how can a tiny fish ever fathom the depth and the might of the ocean? How can a little star ever grasp the vastness and enormity of the cosmos that is ever expanding? What we do know is this. Whatever Swami does, it is always, always in our best interest. And Swami will not give us anything to deal with without bestowing on us the ability to come out of it stronger and wiser. And as I said, Bhagwan has been actually preparing us, not just you and me, but the entire humanity, for what the world is going through now. And we as Sai devotees, many of us possibly would not have known how to handle this if we did not have the power of His presence, the strength of His message, the rock-like support of His love. And this lifeline, this connect with Him is what has helped us, helped so many of us come out of our depressions, our fears, our weaknesses, our tribulations. We cannot imagine how we could have managed if we did not have His hand to hold on to, His feet to clasp in our hands. And when we continue to ponder in this manner, only tears stream down your cheeks in gratitude. Your mind cannot but reflect on every moment when you have felt His presence as you are dealing with COVID. And then you realize every second, every word, every act of the avatar, how has so many dimensions to it. In the last 3 weeks in this session, outside, inside, deep inside, I've been sharing with you stories of this wave of selflessness that has swept India. Hundreds and thousands of alumni, Sai brothers and sisters, Sai Sevadals, who have forgotten their own problems, their own shortcomings, their forgotten their own little selves, and they have reached out and provided hope, health, happiness. They have done this perhaps more than the healthcare workers have done, because they have done it just voluntarily done it because they love Swami deeply. And those stories continue, and I will come back to those stories. But today, we thought we will look at a much larger picture. Let's discuss not about how we are serving people, but how Swami has been serving us. How Swami demonstrated in His own life and gave us so many hints and clues about how we should lead our lives so that we are safe, so that we are protected physically, we are calm mentally, and we grow spiritually. And as I said, He has been doing this for decades, right from the time He declared, "I am Sai Baba." So, how has Swami guided us to deal with COVID? Joining me in this discussion today is Brother Srinivas Rao from the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, Puttaparthi. Brother is a very, very senior alumnus of Bhagwan's University, and he belongs to the earliest batches of MBA. And after his education, his post-graduation in Bhagwan's University, Swami gave him the opportunity to serve in his hospital, and he has been serving very happily. And in fact, it was Brother's beautiful insights into Bhagwan's life, Bhagwan's words, and the way Bhagwan led His earthly sojourn. This is what has inspired this session and this conversation. Welcome, Brother, to Outside Inside, Deep Inside.
Sai Raman, thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to be here.
And Brother, you know, when we think about it, about the pandemic, how we are dealing with it, it always feels like we as Sai devotees are so fortunate, isn't it? We were always fortunate, but in these times, you feel you have an advantage. You feel no matter what, you can deal with it. You feel you are much more prepared than others, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. We have a very good advantage being a Sai devotee. Not that anybody is less, but how many in this on this earth, Swami Himself used to say, no Swami physically. So very few, very chosen few of us. So everybody has been blessed by Him. But we who had the opportunity to enjoy His physical proximity and derive lessons from His life and His message, we are at a definite advantage. And we should delve on this little vocally.
Yes.
And it's a very wonderful subject for discussion, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's a time to take it up because we have already gone through various stages of this crisis, unprecedented. And everybody is very well aware of the jargons of the virus. So, and plus various phases of the pandemic, where it was in the first wave, then came the second wave. What is it that stood by us? And where have we faltered? Because we are definitely at an advantage, but we may have even erred in not recognizing the lessons and taking advantage of it.
Correct.
Maybe it's a time, because these are lessons for eternity, and it's time to review this.
Yes.
And usually, as I've seen that as a Sai devotee, serving comes a first nature for him. Service to others.
Yes.
But this is a very unique situation where you are going out to help somebody can cause a mishap. It can be for you, it can be for your family, it can be for the person you are helping out.
So in all good intention, you might have gone out to help someone, but you know, you can put that person in danger. You myself also could be in danger.
In all the various organizations, there will be so many service activities going on. Feeding the poor, feeding the needy is always a regular affair. But I have seen myself that many people are not able to do even this basic thing which they can do because of these restrictions. And we do not know where we could go wrong. And so that time actually I thought maybe SI devotee is left to wonder what is it that, how is it that they are supposed to respond? How would Swami want us to respond at this time? That's what made me, you know, delve into this subject very deeply, and it gave me so much satisfaction because we have Swami himself who is the living example. He has his life, every gesture, every movement of his was a message for us. And as I thought to myself, then I drew out so many lessons that I thought, oh my God, this is more than enough for me to manage this myself. And we can help others also. And that is the advantage we need to be discussing vocally today and share it with others.
Beautiful. In fact, you know, one of the things that is part of the COVID protocol you're supposed to do is, you know, avoid contacts with anyone, you know, try to have minimal movements, don't have unnecessary relationships, don't have unnecessary interactions. In fact, you know, when I was thinking about it, I was tempted to go back to my student days when Swami used to always say, you know, talk less, have less contacts. Talk less, have less contacts. You know, that is what Swami's direction was. And Swami used to always be very particular about, you know, you not engaging in any conversation with someone where there is no necessity.
See, today's problem also, contacts and contact tracing. Who all you met?
Yes.
If you didn't meet, you didn't have to go through that.
Then you are safe.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so I was just thinking, you know, this is part of COVID protocol, which Swami told us way back, you know, 30-20.
And we thought it is a, you know, restriction placed on us.
But actually now it's a virtue. It's a virtue now. And you are actually a gentleman.
Yeah.
If you are following this, if you are not having too many...
See, the students in the hostel and the schools, they go through all the discipline during the entire years. And during the summer vacation, when they go home, the parents feel, oh, my child should enjoy freedom. All the good work done is lost a bit.
Sometimes diluted.
And then they again come back after the summer vacation is over. They again have to be reined in, they disciplined. And Swami, I have seen many times, when the children come back from summer vacations, Swami will not be in a very happy mood. Because each one's face reflects for him where all he had done mistakes. So these are things Swami wanted us to become part of us. And not just when you are here. And how useful these are today. And all those children who have grown up, now they have their own children. They want that their children should go through this rigor again. Because this is what is standing by them today. It is making their life so easy. Any child and any husband of a wife or who has studied here, any wife who has studied in Swami's college, and any child of any parent would always be happy that their children, their child, their people have Swami's association, and they are totally different. I have heard many people say this.
I mean, every alumnus will want their child to go back to Swami school and Swami.
Even when they were studying, probably they would have said, "I don't want so much discipline." but they know very well now how discipline stands by us today.
I mean, so when you think about it, you know, so that direction of Bhagwan about have less contacts, as we say, you know, today it has become the right way of living. In fact, Swami also would advise people to never touch each other. You know, always the greeting also was always Sai Ram and the Indian way of greeting, you know, where namaskar, you don't go a hug and you don't there is no physical touch with the other person. You know, now we don't do it because of the virus. Okay, but we have been always asked that it is always safe to maintain distance, especially with someone, you know, you don't know. A family is a different thing. And especially when you're greeting many people are strangers. You're meeting new people. because of the virus now we are careful.
Yeah.
But we have been asked to be careful for generations by rishis. Yeah. If you go to Indian culture.
See, handshaking and hugging,
yes,
all these were not part of our culture.
Culture.
So, always, whether you know the person or not, the yes, best thing is to recognize the person opposite to you as divine himself,
mm-hmm,
the Lord himself.
Yes.
So, you fold both your hands,
yes,
touch from your, with all your heart,
yes,
and greet.
Yes.
That's the best way.
A greeting from my heart is, to your
yes, internationally heart, acknowledged today.
Yes, exactly. Exactly, internationally acknowledged today. Now, what I'm trying to say is, today we are thinking again of it as a virtue, mm, because of the pandemic.
Mm, yeah.
No, it's mm, going, world is going back to its roots in a
as
way.
As you said, this is the new normal.
Mm.
But this was normal in the early days.
Yes. And this is best for us.
Yes.
This is best for the human civilization.
Yes.
And why? Because the other person, today we are afraid of virus, but the rishis and the sages, they have always told us because mm, the other person had different energies, different mm, people, different feelings, different mm, vibrations.
Mm.
And the touch always, just like when you touch the divine purifies you.
Mm.
Because through the very touch, there is so much of transfer happening.
Mm.
And that is the reason why they said, you know, if you don't know a person, it's better you don't touch that person.
So see, now, even in the hostel,
yes,
Swami doesn't want us to go from room to room like cats.
Exactly.
He'll use this word.
Yes.
Even in housewives,
yes,
whose husbands would have gone mm, to their offices,
mm,
the wives now feel they're now a little relaxed.
Mm.
After the cooking is a bit over, then you mm, go to the next house.
Mm.
Or you go to another, if mm, you're a little free, you go to another mm, town.
Mm.
If you're having a little more money, you go to another country.
Mm.
So house to house, door to door, mm, place to place, town to town, country to country. We have got into this habit of moving around.
Restless.
And contacting people yes,
yeah,
for no rhyme or reason.
Mm-hmm.
If you have reason, certainly Swami yes, would encourage. Swami oh, would yes, never said no.
Yes.
If you have a reason, go always ask those questions. Why, where, how.
Mm, yes.
It's not a very tough thing.
Yes.
Simple thing you ask yourself, is it required or not?
Yes.
So these are the things that actually are coming to our rescue today.
Absolutely. In fact, as you mentioned about, say the lady of the house, you having spare time and, mm, and engaging in something which is perhaps not necessary.
Mm.
It could be the lady, it could be the man, it mm, could be the spouse, anybody.
Mm.
It could be a child,
mm,
whoever it is.
Mm.
I mean, especially children have unnecessary friendships and you don't know where you're getting
see,
into.
If you had developed this habit of not moving around unnecessarily,
yes,
staying at home would have been easy for you today.
Yeah.
Those who are struggling with staying at home are the ones who have this habit of
yes,
wanting to go out, meeting people, having a coffee, having mm, a chat.
Mm.
Not always for wrong reasons.
Yes.
But still, the moment, yes, there is some kind of a restlessness yes, within us.
After some time, you it's almost like you cannot live without it.
Being still, mm, being with yourself is mm, the very tough thing.
Tough thing, yes. But Swami prepared us.
Mm.
You know, if you look at... And the other simple way, what Swami did, especially... with Sai devotees is if you had spare time, you spent it, you know, doing a bhajan or you mm, spent it in some satsang.
Mm.
At least you're in a company of people who are like-minded, who have higher energy levels,
mm,
you know, at least the vibrations.
See, thanks to the internet, Swami had given us this kind of satsangs possible through Zoom.
Mm. Yes, yes.
Zoom meetings or whatever.
Yeah, yes.
But now I thought Zoom satsangs, online retreats.
Online, yes.
Why not you Zoom a little into Swami?
yes,
you want to hear others speak about Swami and their experience. Yes, definitely that is one part of satsang.
Mm.
The other satsang is to be with yourself.
Yes.
And zoom in to Swami.
Mm.
The Swami who is within you as the Dehi.
Yes, absolutely.
Beautiful. The education in human values, Swami says, that pours out of your heart.
Mm.
If only you go half an inch within.
Mm.
Go within, inward. We are always trying to go outward. Our moment is always outward.
Mm-hmm.
So if we go, so Swami says, life is lost in living. So when you have to earn your bread, you have to earn, means you have to go out for a living. Life is lost in living. You're lost in your daily errands. Being is lost in becoming. The being is not at all recognized. We want to become something in the outer world.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Swami says that, you are a human being, basically. So, even my favorite comparison to this situation right now is, when in cricketing parlance, when a batsmen, one of the best batsmen, some of the best batsmen also have their out of form times when they are not able to put bat on ball, not able to score runs, they're failing repeatedly. It's a question time. A time comes when they know their place in the team is questioned, and that is the time they go to a senior cricketer, former cricketer or somebody. And what he advises is go back to basics, see the ball. So here also, a pandemic of this nature, globally, hitting everybody. All you need to do is do the basic things right, do the simple things right.
Yes.
We don't have to worry about which medicine will work.
Yeah.
No. The medicine, the cure lies within you. Yes. This kind of viruses will keep coming and attacking humanity. Are you always going to be relying on medications? Yes, certainly there is a place for medicine. But there is something else also. All these viruses have the consent of the Lord. Even the devil's purpose is to make you turn towards God.
Yes.
So this is certainly a divine will that today we are faced with this, so that we go a little within, be with ourselves.
Go back.
Even when you are sick also.
Yes.
You have to, you know, be stay close to your body. That's the time you shun yourself of everything, the phones and everything, and focus on your body. And then the body recovers. So this is now in a global way. You can see sickness. Even if you are not sick, you can see, oh, how delicate life is.
Yes.
And the lessons are that we are learning from this is tremendous if you can really utilize this and turn this adversity into an opportunity.
Absolutely. In fact, as you mentioned about going back to basics, I think that is really a very, very a fundamental thing.
We are not going to discover anything new.
Yes.
Whatever Swami has taught, whatever is already helping us, supporting us, that we are going to bring it out.
And as you said, when the world is going through its toughest phase, what has helped us in these times, this is what is going to help us in future.
Yeah.
So I think this is one opportunity that Divine gave us to understand what is it that will really help us.
Yeah.
And we know that this is what our basic thing was. We are going back to the basic.
Correct, correct.
You know.
Even a neighbor also may be wondering, how is it that these people are able to live so peacefully?
Yes.
Always singing bhajans or something.
Yes.
Not having the kind of worries and fears that a normal person experiences. I'm very sure a Sai devotee's advantage is tremendous.
Tremendous. I think a lot of people now spending time listening to satsangs.
Yeah.
A lot of people now spending time taking up meditation. Until today, they had never thought about meditation. But now they think, no, we should meditate. I have known so many people, you know, because they're dealing with sickness, they're dealing with loneliness, they're dealing with so many things. Now you want to start meditating. You want to do more chanting. Because life has come to a stage where you know that no matter what you have, nothing can help you.
Really.
You know, and because this has put everybody on the same page, irrespective of your economic status, that is how the pandemic has brought the world to be in. So you know that, you know, no matter, even if my father is the best doctor, best virologist in the world, I do not know. I might need the support of something unseen.
Yeah.
So I think that whole concept of humility for every person and that sprouting of faith. I think that is something that has happened so effortlessly. And you know, even the wealthiest of persons now still has a mind, you know, in the corner of his mind, he has a feeling, no, I need the support. I have to depend on something higher. I think that is a great realization.
God, in my view, God emerges and stares right in front of us over the debris of pandemic.
Wow. Yes. Yeah. Sometimes we need things to shake us
up. See, he has pitted himself against us. In the sense, Swami was saying, there will come a time when I will be alone on one side. The entire humanity will be on one side. Victory will be mine. Victory does not mean vanquishing the opposite. It is no longer the Mahabharata times. Victory is your recognition of the divine.
Yes.
And that is what Swami is achieving. And in the initial, in the early intro part, you are saying that people may be wondering if Swami, left us to fend for ourselves. No way at all. It is actually Swami's way of making us turn to Him.
Yes.
And when Swami was physically on this planet here with us, definitely we have not heard of any pandemic.
Yes.
I met one yogi, he said, the very presence of Swami's physical avatarhood, Swami's presence on this planet, is enough to ward off every kind of threat, including that of pollution. Because those days, the pollution we are talking about is not there now, but the pollution threats was more. I said, even that he will ward it off. He can ward it off. That is the power of the consciousness presence. So when Swami was there, he held all that under his feet. When he lived here, he gave us all these messages to us. A beautiful example physically, the kind of mental and physical discipline expected of us today, it is what is given by Swami's life only to us.
Yes.
So it is absolutely not impossible for us to live the way he wants. He lived. I have seen him. If you're talking about the way we wear a mask and all that, I had seen Swami use a kerchief always.
Yes,
he had never touched his fingers on the facial skin with bare hands.
Correct.
Always there was a kerchief coming in between. The way he will wipe the corners of his mouth or the nostrils or the eyelids. There was always a kerchief, and there was no involuntary movement of the body.
Correct.
If you see how that steadiness, when you see have darshan of Swami, you see any of the video, pick up any video also, you will never see an odd gesture by Swami, even a scratching on his facial skin or anything.
Yeah.
Even when he was having little difficulty with his arm, the way he would remove the hair coming in the way of his eyes, very carefully he himself would reach out to that string and put it aside. He would not take anybody's help.
Yes.
If somebody were to come forward and help him out with anything, I've seen him ask, did I ask you?
Yes.
But what he is showing is the kind of control in the body movements, the economy of body movements.
Mm-hmm.
If you just see in a second or a minute how many movements involuntarily we make.
Yes.
You just see Swami, a darshan of video of Swami you see, you will develop that much needed control. See, today the control required of us to not touch our face with unclean hands. Or, sanitize your hands, clean your hands. Swami was also particular about cleanliness, but he did not sanitize his hand. Every time, every now and then, he did not clean his hands. Only thing is, he took care he doesn't touch the surfaces. He never leaned on any surface.
Yes.
These are the beautiful lessons for me, actually.
In fact, I remember when I had the chance to be with Bhagwan in Kodaikanal, Swami, after every darshan, not just every darshan, every 2-3 hours he would go back to his room and he would come down. And one day he said, if you're wondering why am I going back to the room, am I using the restroom so many times? He said, see, the thing is, I am continuously washing my feet because there are so many people touching the feet.
Okay.
So, I am keeping my feet clean. So, he was not using sanitizers, but he was all the time cleaning.
Yes.
And that we have seen. How clean Bhagwan would be. As you said, using the handkerchief.
Absolutely. Oh my God.
That was... And that was also the trademark of all Bhagwan's institutions. I think right from the time the super speciality hospital also came up, I think anybody who visited the hospital, the first impression is, wow, it is so clean.
Why? Because God is here.
Yes.
Cleanliness is next to Him.
Yes.
True to its adage.
Yes.
Cleanliness is next to godliness. And you see Prashanthi Nilayam.
Yes.
How clean, how it maintains itself.
Yes.
It's not as a horde of workers are employed to do the cleaning. No. Sevadals take it upon themselves.
Yes.
At 3 o'clock in the morning, the cleaning starts.
Yes.
The broom, the sounds of the broom.
Yes.
Because it is not the place that they are cleaning. They are cleaning their own hearts. They feel like that.
Yes.
And they want to keep, how much ever clean you keep, you are not satisfied. You want to keep it more clean. More. Because that is a standard of Swami within you, who is prompting you to keep more and more clean. See, even when Swami used to come for darshan, in those days, you know, Swami used to walk on the sands. And the sands will be anyway spick and span. Mm. But it is swept so beautifully. Swami himself once said, it is so beautifully kept that I don't want to spoil it by treading on that.
Oh my God.
See, that's a compliment to the devotees who keep it that spick and span.
Mm.
And then when Swami, as Swami is coming near during the darshan, I see a small little leaf, a dry neem leaf that could have fallen.
Mm.
Even Swami is just about a feet away, I'll make sure that I remove that. Mm. It should not hurt Swami's feet.
Mm.
Or even if there is any, because of breeze, some unevenness has come in the sandy patch.
Mm.
I want to set right that.
Mm.
I used to wonder from, now I realize that all this is coming from a prompting from within. Because the embodiment of perfection is coming towards, close to you. And as he comes closer to you in that range, the sense of perfection goes higher range. And that is what makes us clean that little piece in front of you. Yes. So that's when Swami stands on that, it is at its perfect best.
Mm. Oh yes, I think Swami's presence always inspired so much of cleanliness and hygiene.
Mm. See, if so virus is surfacing in the cleanest of places, how do you define cleanliness then?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it? If you see airports or some of the hi-fi offices, even prime minister's, president's offices, there is this, is it for want of cleanliness? There is something more also.
Hmm.
There is that love for the Lord.
Yes.
That cleanliness, when it joins this cleanliness, then there is no virus there.
The vibration.
No, yeah.
Yes.
In that vibration, viruses get cauterized.
Hmm. I remember, you know, when you think about it, in Prashantinilam, we have had huge conferences you know, over the years, you know. I mean, for this little hamlet, it used to get overwhelmed with the thousands of people.
From this early 70s, I have seen a lot of these festivals of Dasara, Shivratri, where lakhs of people used to gather in a small little place.
World conference.
Where only basic amenities were provided.
Mm-hmm.
But the cleanliness, it is perfect best.
Yes.
And then we have never heard of any epidemic or a contagion.
Yes.
Never. With the basic DDT sprinkled and kept clean with sevadals from Orissa and all that, maintaining the other hygiene around the places. So where have you heard of that? But now with all the kind of perfection in the cleanliness we have, we are still having to fight with this kind of viruses.
Mm. But I think that culture of cleanliness, you know, even if you look at it outwardly, that was so much a part of every institution of Bhagwan and every part of the ashram. In fact, I remember also in the hostels, if Bhagwan is coming, the way the hostel would just get. And you don't know when Swami will come. So you have to always keep the hostel clean.
Yeah.
Because especially in those early years and even in the later 90s, Swami can come and he will not give you notice also.
Yes,
he will not give you even half an hour notice.
Yes.
You can be just praying to Swami, please come. You might say, okay, I'm coming, and you might call the car and you might just be there. And that's what it happened.
Yes.
I remember way back in the early 90s. One day we were just praying to Swami, please come to the hostel. The hostel anniversary, Christmas day is the hostel anniversary day.
Mm-hmm.
And after the Christmas carols, we told Swami, please come. Swami said, okay, I will come.
Mm.
And he called the car, and before we could reach the hostel, he was there. So you have to keep, you have to keep the hostel clean. So you have to keep your heart clean. You have to keep everything around clean.
Correct.
Because,
when it is done with the feeling that there is a divine within and without.
Yeah.
Then that perfection reaches its requisite levels, actually.
Exactly.
And that vibration, as you said, it hits the vibrations.
Yes, yes. So, you look at it at the physical level or you look at it at the metaphysical level.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is what, you know,
see, whatever little spaces, whatever little spaces we have to keep ourselves and the space clean.
Yes. Yeah. Good. And the other thing that you talked about, you know, how Swami would not want anything for himself to be done by others. I remember, you know, even if he takes people to the interview room, he will himself put on the light. He will himself put off the light. He will himself, you know, he has to give anything.
It happened with me also. Once I got my first interview in my life, I know how Swami puts the lights on, mm-hmm. light switches on. Mm. Then next interview I got within a space of another 20 days or 1 month maybe. Mm. So, and I knew Swami was coming to turn the lights on. Mm. I turned the light on.
Okay.
Swami said, did I ask you? Immediate lesson. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
I was very small this time.
Yeah. But I think that is what Swami always was particular about. And, you know, I remember how Swami was very particular that everything in the hostel should be done by the boys.
Mm.
You know, that's how our hostel is a self-sufficient hostel, self-sufficient community.
Mm.
And the other thought that comes to my mind also is how it is quarantined in itself. You know, to lead a quarantined life is not difficult at all for a Sai student.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you live in a hostel like that, you generally do not go outside. You know how to live, with a small community.
In fact, I too felt like that only. Now, quarantine is something not new. I'm living that life always.
Always we lead a life like that.
Yeah.
You know, we don't.
Even in hostels, when we students had this any, contagious problems like chickenpox and all that. Mm. Swami always said isolate them.
If
hostel was not the right place, then they put in ashrams. In a separate room, food was served to them separately.
Hmm.
So that is how the concept of quarantine was already there.
Yes. I mean, that was...
It's nothing new.
It's nothing new, exactly.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, if someone has to live in isolation for 10 days or 14 days, you know, it does not seem anything different.
Hmm.
You can always, have enough things to do and, you know, spend time with yourself, spend time with Swami, and it will not just depress you or it will not, you know, lead you to any emotional turbulence, just like it happens with many people if you've gone through the hostel. And I think it's the same. It's not just the students. It's also with the Sai devotees.
Mm-hmm.
If you see, the moment someone becomes a Sai devotee, you're part of the organization, your contacts with generally the outside world also reduces. You know, your time is spent more in Sai activities.
Mm-hmm.
You are busy in your professional work, and whatever time you can spare from your domestic life, you use it for sacred activities.
Mm-hmm.
So so if earlier you would have gone for 10 marriages in the family, now probably you will go for the most important ones.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you'll go one or two,
mm-hmm.
but because you don't want to miss the sacred activities in the samiti. So that way your connections also is only with a few people.
Yeah.
And few people who are like-minded, same level of vibration, you know, same level of thinking and, you know, in that environment.
Mm.
So that way you have also secluded yourself.
Yeah, you reduce the possibility of contacting this kind of problems much.
That much. So
you can still contact it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No, but how I was feeling, see, Bhagavan has already sort of oriented our lives to reducing our risk.
Yes.
You know, apart from, you know, it helping us spiritually, even physically, we are more safe.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the kind of life that, he wanted us to lead.
Mm-hmm.
Right from the time the organization started, the hostel started.
Mm-hmm.
And as you are talking about how Bhagavan would always want us to do things on our own, as we are saying about hostel, how hostel, every student has to, you know, be it cooking or be it taking care of serving, be it taking care of the plants, be it taking care of the other departments in the hostel, the dispensary, the
We used to call it SUPW, socially useful productive work.
So yes. Yes.
Small little things, you know, the children are made to do it themselves.
In fact, I remember, you know, how so many boys were working the maintenance, they would know how to fix lights and tubes. And in fact, there is a story of how one boy, when he was going in the bus and, you know, the bus broke down and this boy, you know, he knew how to fix because of his experience working in the maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have a problem doing the different things in your homes, you know, doing little things in your home, you know, doing a bit of stitching in your clothes or fixing up some plumbing work, fixing up some electrical work or cleaning or mopping, anything, because you've gone through that. And today, where people are scared to call maids in to their homes, or people are scared to, have outside people come and fix little things in their homes because you don't want more contacts.
Correct.
You know, this kind of life that Swami made us lead in a hostel where, you know, you have a problem, try to fix it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that has...
No, unless you are in the habit of doing it yourself, it is very difficult actually.
Hmm.
So depending on the servant maids, depending on your mother or the people to do things for you, even, you know, drink a cup of coffee and expect the cup to be taken to the kitchen sink and washed by somebody else. So these things, actually, we have to do it ourselves.
And so
that little moment is a physical exercise for you.
Yes. No, exactly. I was just thinking about how the hostel life has prepared every student. And it is not just Satya Sai Hostel. I think you look at so many Sai schools all over the the country. And this is a training that is also provided in all the SSS EHV programs.
Whoever Sai student who has gone through this routine and discipline, he can live anywhere on the earth.
Yes.
I used to, in the those days, I used to go to mandir and sleep in the mandir floor.
Floor, yes, yes.
It's Swami a beautiful mosaic darshan floor where Swami walks all over.
Yes.
I don't even want to spread a cloth because a bed sheet also. Because I'll be in touch with Swami's vibration directly which when he walked on that surface the whole day.
Yes.
And there used to be times when I used to not even put a pillow. I'll sleep without a pillow. The thought in my mind was, there may come tomorrow a time when I may have to sleep under a tree. See how my thought process was, that I have prepared myself for that.
Yes.
Additionally, not just have the comfort of a nice cushioned bed and a pillow. No.
So you are at ease, whether you are sleeping on a cot with a thick cushion or whether you're just sleeping on a simple bed sheet.
By the way, I have stayed under every tree, every shed in the ashram. In the early days before I settled in Puttaparthi in 79, before that when we used to come and we had absolutely no problem. Enjoyable, the divine vibration, focus was on Swami.
Yes.
No problem, nothing was there. We used to go to Chitravati and take bath.
Yes. Exactly. No, I think that's it. When the hostel was made, you know, when it was suggested to Swami also, you know, it's not that Swami did not have money to provide all those conveniences. You know.
The more the convenience come, the more lazy we become.
Yes.
We were not this lazy before.
Yeah. But today when you see, you know, he was preparing us for every eventuality of life.
At the same time, that's what the beauty of Swami actually. Yes. He allowed things to evolve with time.
Yes.
He never said no to anything.
Yes.
Lord God's will it is. How can he say no to anything? All the developments, he embraced that also.
Yes.
Within that, the basic discipline should not be forgotten.
Exactly. So that kind of life that the students led in the hostel, I feel whoever he is, wherever he is, he can lead that kind of a life. You know, yes, the student, it's a very small community who got that opportunity to be in the hostel. And even now, you know, people have the opportunity whoever becomes a student. But anybody can lead that life wherever they are. You know, you can follow that same routine. You can follow that kind of a lifestyle. You can decide to do things yourself. You can decide to get up early in the morning. You can decide to have your do your morning exercises. You can decide to do your prayers. You can decide to do some social work. You can decide to do to spend some time in satsang. You know, you can decide to do some social work. You know, do some work wherein you're helping to connect yourself within and helping others. You know, every day, if you're in the hostel, some part of your time, effort, energy will be spent for others. That is, you cannot help it. And you eat early, you know, you eat at sunrise and, you know, by the time you have a dinner, it's a sunset time actually. After that, you do your studies and then, you know, you do night prayer and you sleep. So this routine, I feel, is a routine for everyone, you know, to lead a healthy, balanced life where you are physically fit, mentally calm, also you're growing spiritually. And I feel we should draw lessons. And all of this is becoming very important.
See, that is what makes us all true, integrated
personalities.
Human personalities. And all this was not developed with a certain thing in mind. Say, this is if you do this way, it will end up in this. No, it was totally customized to each one with the divine will operating for each individual student, actually.
Yes. Especially, yes. And today, food has become so important. You know, as they say, you are what you eat. And even though earlier we had known of healthy food and, you know, we had always known that yeah, it is good to eat vegetables, it is good to, you know, eat a lot of fruit, it is not good to eat a lot of fast foods and, but today, everyone is talking about it. Today, you don't have to impress anyone on this. Today, everybody, you know, they want to cook themselves. They don't want to eat out.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, you don't have to really cajole anyone into this lifestyle. People earlier drop off their head if they had going out to eat. Now, they want to think 100 times before they go out and eat. And you see, this is what Swami would never want boys to go out and eat. I remember in the hostel, Swami was so particular. It was a gross act of indiscipline if boy, you know, he was going out of the hostel and, you know, to some restaurant and eating something. Because he wanted that purity of that food. You know, today, we know how important all this is. If you go into the details of the purity of the food, you know, that Pakasuddhi, Patathasuddhi, the purity of the food, the purity of the maker, the purity of the ingredients, everything becomes so important. But, you know, keeping all this in mind... So, Bhagwan had wanted that, you know, you eat whatever is cooked in the hostel. And same thing now replicated, you know, you eat what you cook at home.
Yeah.
You know, because only then you can maintain that purity. When you cook, that feelings also matter. One thing is you can't control the ingredients.
Correct.
But at least you can control the feelings. At least you can, to a large extent, control the purity. At least you will check what you will clean that grains before you are cooking. At least
how much ever we eat outside, the curd rice served by mother is the tastiest. So that shows actually the love and the vibration of the preparer of the food. That makes so much difference. A simple, simple, you know, yogurt rice. Tasting so good.
And that now that is being packaged as probiotic food, you know.
Actually, they used to laugh at it that, oh, these South Indians, they will eat curd rice early morning. That was something actually, even for the Sevadals, when Swami was giving the what you call food on the early mornings, there was Swami himself gave the recipe for it and told that they should be served this yogurt rice that is soaked in the previous night. So that gets fermented. But many North Indian Sevadals had complained that we don't eat rice. Leave alone rice, that curd rice is even difficult for them to eat in early morning. So then that matter went to Swami and Swami said, no, actually I said it, suggested that because it is very good for those who go out to the work. It is cooling in the stomach. And this it's a good bacteria it gives to the gut. So it gives you good strength. But if they are not comfortable, then give them the regular idlis or something.
But today, this curd rice is actually, you know...
Yes, it is sold online as a probiotic food and is pretty costly also on Swiggy, Zomato and all these places.
Exactly.
Earthen pots they serve in.
Earthen pots. They're going back to the basics.
Exactly.
And if you look at it, you know, Bhagwan... himself also, he ate ragi, he ate those millets, you know, the finger millet.
Whatever the food that grows in the local area on the soil, that should be eaten by you.
And hostel, we used to get the ragi malt, you know, we used to get ragi as our the morning, before jogging, something to nourish us, you know. So today, millets have become, you know, the in thing.
Correct.
You know, with so many people having diabetes and so many people having so many other stomach issues, health issues, and for immunity, saying millets are very good. But this is exactly what...
Also, intake of dry fruits and some some salads, uncooked food. Uncooked food. Swami himself said in one of the Satyasai speaks, I happened to read, volume 15, chapter 21, in that Swami talks about eating right. He says, it is out of all the living beings, it is only human being that transforms the food and eats. Rest of the creatures and beings, they thrive on nature as it is, without spoiling it, spoiling its vitality. By cooking and adding all these concoctions, you're actually removing all its vitality. And Swami said, at least one meal of the day should be uncooked food. There are some little fruits, some salad. So that actually is enough for you to, and your kitchen is your what you call dispensary. the kind of exactly. things we add, spices and all that, yes. actually are all and you know working against what is not good mm. in the cooked food also.
Mm.
So we have to take this advice also of
yes.
Swami
yes.
that one meal of ours should be uncooked,
mm.
a part of your meal at least.
Yes.
Not rely everything on just mm. to satisfy the taste buds and palate.
Mm. In fact, in Dhyanavahini,
mm.
When Bhagwan is talking about getting up early and doing meditation,
mm.
Swami says, see, you need good stamina also. You need good energy also
Absolutely.
To do meditation.
Mm.
So if you're low on energy, Swami says, you take almonds,
mm-hmm.
you soak it in the night,
mm-hmm.
and remove the peel and have it in the morning. Swami mm-hmm. has physically mm-hmm. given this,
mm-hmm.
you know, tip in Dhyanavahini.
Okay.
So as you said, you know, to have some amount of uncooked food, mm-hmm. to have these fruits mm-hmm. and to have these dry
fruits.
Then
you don't have to take all these supplements.
Yes. Yes.
And also a little bit of exercise.
Exercise.
And Swami used to himself walk
yes.
both morning and evening for 45 minutes each time.
In his room.
In his own room. He says, if I can't come out because yes. people will be always there.
Yes.
They'll be waiting for me.
Mm.
So in that 10 by 10 room, mm. Swami lived
yes.
and did all this.
Yes.
And for us now, today to stay in the containment zones, we feel stuffy and suffocated. The Lord lived in the 10 by 10 rooms
mm.
and ruled the universe.
Mm.
And he did not have any health issue.
Yes.
And he did not eat anything special or extra. Mm.
Yes.
Very minimal. And the fingers of his hand only used to dip into the plate
yes.
while eating. That
yes.
Careful he was, that limited the intake was.
Yes.
He said, it depends on the corresponding energy that I expend.
Mm.
I spend less energy, so I eat less.
Mm.
You do less work, but consume more energy, so you eat more.
Mm.
And he always used to chide people who are, you know, put on weight.
Mm.
And now the tendency is always to put on weight because you just eat all the 3-4 times and then sit and work from home.
Mm.
So you have to be all the more careful about the intake quantity.
Quantity, yes. Mm. And exercise, as you said.
Exercise.
It is, again, how Swami made it mandatory
mm.
for the students to exercise. In the mornings, especially, you know, you have to go for jogging.
Mm.
You have to do your yoga, especially Surya Namaskar.
Mm.
I think every student who is part of Satya Sai Institution would have done Surya Namaskar.
Mm.
And which is considered as the king
mm.
among the yogasanas.
Mm.
But Swami was, you know, you chant the mantra and do it.
Mm.
I remember doing that, you know, in my 11th class, 12th class
okay.
itself. Which is so important. Today the whole world is going back to yoga.
Okay.
You know, everybody is understanding that this is the way to, you know. And what you can achieve through yoga, just being in your home is tremendous. You don't have to even step out, go out and jog. You can just be in home, and even if you do 15, 20 minutes of yoga, that rejuvenates
your body. See, unlike before, now we don't have to rush
yes.
in the mornings into the traffic and the dust
yes.
and the dirt,
yes.
all that. But staying at home itself has yes. become a little problem. We are unable to stay calm and composed because it is a mind that is actually trying to drive the body.
Mm.
And how do you control the mind? That's what comes the next stage.
Yes.
How do you control the mind also?
Yes.
And this is the best time to do a simple observation of your breath that is always repeating soham, soham.
Mm.
The moment you observe your breath, the thoughts, the mind calms down.
Mm.
And what remains is the presence of the divine right there.
Yes.
So we have to utilize this chance also
yes.
to experience that truth in our life.
Beautiful. In fact, yes, to utilize this opportunity to convert our loneliness into solitude.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Very beautiful word.
To convert our so-called shortcomings
okay.
into our clear strengths,
mm-hmm.
as you said,
mm.
so that this being is not lost in becoming.
Mm.
I think
True.
That is something that we definitely have to contemplate on
yes.
more. And today time is running out. So,
okay.
so we will continue this discussion, brother,
okay.
With Swami's
Surely.
Grace. There are so many more things that we can learn.
Yes, pretty lot are there. It's wonderful to recall
yes.
all those. I'll be very happy to be...
Yeah, I think we should share these because all of these things we have seen in Bhagwan's life and we have seen how he wanted that to be implemented in every student's life, in every devotee's life. And it is good for us to contemplate on it so that even as the pandemic leaves, these lessons should not leave us.
Absolutely.
So that at the end of it, we are stronger.
These lessons are for eternity.
For eternity, yes.
And we should now discuss, delve into this, and give out to the world.
Yes.
Actually, world does not know how Swami lived. From what little we have seen, we should give out in this form.
Yes, yes. So that we who always want to be his instruments become physically strong and not lose this chance that this life has given us, this chance of sanctifying this life, you know, by dedicating it to him, by dedicating it to his work. And we can do that only when we are physically fit, we are mentally calm, and we are on that path that
can
he has
I
shown.
Say that we are unlocking all that Swami has put into our hearts during these lockdowns?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that's a very beautiful thing. So in the next session, we will discuss more on how we can use this lockdown to unlock the most precious gifts that Swami has given us and which we have missed possibly for so many years.
It's wonderful, actually.
Thank you so much, brother.
Thank you so much, Sai Ram.
So, dear listeners, that was Brother Srinivas Rao, former student of Bhagavan's institution, now working in the Super Speciality Hospital in Prashanthinilam. And we'll continue this in the coming sessions whenever Bhagavan makes it possible for us. Do share your thoughts and feedback. As always, you can write to listener@ssmediacenter.org. You can also send your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. With gratitude and love, we offer this little endeavor at his lotus feet, and we pray for his guidance to share his message with love to all of you. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.